Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
Keep in mind, the Navajo Waters Protection Rule was a huge, huge accomplishment in the last administration. So it was a huge target coming in for this new one as well. As Courtney mentioned, the Clean Water Act is very vague in how it defines a Navajo water. It's a water of the United States, and that has resulted in this 40 years of ping-ponging back and forth. The last time the Supreme Court looked at this, they had a tough time really coming up with a good answer, because again, the statute is so ambiguous and poorly written. Hopefully, soon the Supreme Court will give us more guidance and hopefully make it so there'll be less ping-ponging back and forth in the future.
Travis Cushman is Senior Counsel for Public Policy with the American Farm Bureau Federation on Waters of the U.S.
But to your point, I think we did provide a lot of good details last time and did help the regulated community get an idea of what a good rule does look like.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We'll have that that major report on the 12th. It'll be, yes, the World Ag Supply Demand Estimates reports, but also the annual crop production summaries.
That's Dr. Dan O'Brien, a Kansas State grain economist, talking about the corn supply situation and specifically the report from USDA. And speaking of that report, according to USDA and the World Ag Supply Demand Estimates report, outlook for 21-22 U.S. wheat for smaller supplies, reduced domestic use, lower exports, higher ending stocks. Imports are also lowered as well. Season average farm price now a dime higher at $7.15. For corn, production estimated at 15.1 billion bushels, up 53 million. And on a 0.3 million acre increase in the harvested area. Now, specifically for the price, season average corn price unchanged at $5.45 per bushel. When we roll over to soybeans, the U.S. oilseed production estimate is 130.6 million tons. That's up 300,000 from last month. Larger bean, canola, sunflower seed, and peanut crops partly offset with lower cottonseed production. And for the price, according to USDA, it's 50 cents higher, $12.60 per bushel. And we mentioned cotton in there, and USDA says cotton ending stocks projected lower this month with lower production, slight increase in domestic consumption, more than offsetting the lower exports. And also production lowered 660,000 bales to 17.6 million, largely due to revised Texas yields, and the price unchanged at 90 cents per pound. Now, O'Brien was referencing another report, and that one, the recap for the year, and USDA says corn for grain production estimated 15.1 billion bushels, up 7% from the 2020 estimate. Sorghum grain production estimated at 448 million bushels. That's up 20% from last year. And the soybean production for 2021 totaling a record 4.44 billion bushels. That's up 5% from last year. And also a higher yield at 51.4 bushels. And the all cotton production again, 17.6 million bales. That's a 21% year over year increase. And the yield estimated at 849 pounds per acre, up 2 pounds from last year.
They literally do a comprehensive resurvey of everybody. There wasn't much of an effort. There was no effort in the December report to resurvey folks, but the USDA sort of hangs its hat on this report. It doesn't mean it can't change later on, because it has in the past. They've come in later off of SOX numbers and made some changes to these things. But generally, the market takes in these this year will be January 12th reports, and they'll say, okay, we've answered the supply question. And then they turn their attention to usage. So there's potential for volatility coming out of that day. So Wednesday the 12th is a big day for anybody.
Kansas State grain economist Dan O'Brien. It's Agriculture Today.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The $831 billion that were spent in 2008-2009 to stimulate the economy, and an awful lot of that was spent on infrastructure. So the money was used for multiple purposes, and at that time, because of the nature of that recession, the stimulation made sense. Stimulus made some sense.
That's Dr. Roger Cryan, who is the new chief economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation. And he's breaking down the money spent in 08-09 and what we spent recently.
What happened with us in 2020 and 2021 was there were a lot of disruptions to supply. We didn't necessarily have demand issues. We had supply issues. And so arguably all the stimulus, this $6 trillion of stimulation of the economy, is arguably overstimulation. The economy has been overstimulated. In addition to the spending by the federal government, there was also an expansion of money by the Federal Reserve Bank. They bought bonds and put cash into the market. They lent money at lower interest rates to banks, and that put more cash into the market. And in fact, that activity by the Federal Reserve Bank, in addition to the spending by the federal government, the actions by the Federal Reserve Bank put an extra $6 trillion into the economy as additional cash. That increased the money supply by 40%, which is completely unprecedented. There's never been action by the Federal Reserve Bank like that in the past. And so there have been supply chain issues that you've been reading about for quite some time. You heard some of that today when Shelby and Veronica discussed fertilizer issues. There are supply chain issues. There are hang-ups all over the economy, and that's partly from overstimulus. It's partly because, for one thing, people didn't have people who continued working, and a lot of people continued working thanks to the wonders of telework, and thanks to the fact that an awful lot of people just had to keep working, like you all. There was a lot of folks that kept working, and they had money to spend, and they bought stuff, and all that stuff came from overseas. It jammed up supply lines, but it also was just a general increase in the demand for stuff instead of doing things like going to the restaurants or ball games or the movie theater, things like that. People weren't doing that. They were buying stuff. The desire to buy stuff instead of doing things also contributed to sort of an overheating of the economy to buy for stuff.
But admits there's no magic wand.
We also have, you know, the limits on the planet, basically, of raw materials. When there's just a lot more stuff being demanded, there's a lot of raw materials have to go into that. And there's a limit to how quickly mining can expand and extraction of all kinds of things can expand. And also then how quickly factory production can expand, and how quickly electronic chip production can expand. So all those things are kind of holding back the growth in the ability to produce stuff. Because even as the economy is somewhat opened up for activities, we're here today, but we have a smaller audience than we would have hoped for in a normal year. Most of the restaurants have shorter hours because of labor issues, but also fewer people are going out to do a lot of these things. So those things aren't really coming back that quickly.
It's Agriculture Today.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
When we started this effort, it was, again, at the request of some of the corn growing organizations across the U.S. They asked us to look into some of the things that had been being said about why fertilizer, and specifically anhydrous ammonia and nitrogen fertilizers were higher. We kind of looked at these, take the Fertilizer Institute on their word that these things were going on. But as economists, we want to look a little bit deeper into what were the causes were.
That's Dr. Joe Outlaw, co-director, Ag and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M, on a report regarding fertilizer cost.
One of the things that I wanted to point out to you is that when you look at the amount of correspondence between changes in income for cropper seeds and changes in some of the expenditures, it is not a new phenomenon for those things to move together. You can kind of see it as a jumbled mess here, but you can kind of see that as crop receipts move up and down, input costs as measured by USDA's cost return survey go up and down as well. If you look a little bit more closely at fertilizer and lime, they kind of lay on top of income. So when we started modeling this, And I do have people here that do the modeling for me, and I sent them away to say, we want to see what is driving fertilizer prices, specifically nitrogen and anhydrous ammonia prices more recently. I can tell you that the modeler came back within about 30 minutes and said, I don't really need to build a model, which is very unusual for what we do. That's what we do. We estimate equations a lot. The modeler came back and said, it's driven by the price of corn. And I said, okay, well, let's look at that, because we can't just say these things without having proof. And so when you start looking at this particular chart, has anhydrous ammonia in the blue line and then natural gas, you can see there's kind of a disconnect somewhere around 2010, and I'm going to point to that in a minute again, where they move together really pretty closely then over time. But lately, there's been more of a disconnect. But if you take and you take the cost of the natural gas out of the anhydrous ammonia, so it's 35 times the price of natural gas. So the residual is plotted here in the blue. And it's on the left axis in dollars per ton. And the price of corn is plotted on the right axis in the red and obviously dollars per bushel. And you see that those lines kind of lay right on top of each other, which means that fertilizer anhydrous ammonia prices have been moving very, very much in lockstep with the price of corn for quite some time, and more so now than in the past, actually. Looking at it a different way, this takes all the lines out of the way and says, here's that difference. And as I point out to the producers that something has happened where after you subtract the cost of natural gas, that the fertilizer cost was somewhere around $100 a ton since 1995 for the most part, sometimes a lot less, sometimes a little bit more. But at that level, obviously, fertilizer was being produced and sold and distributed and used by farmers. And since that time, something has changed, and the residual is substantially larger than that. And right now, it's closer to $600 a ton.
It's Agriculture Today.
Take the guesswork out of preparing your cotton for harvest with NanoPro. Utilizing NanoPro's revolutionary nanoliquid technology, your harvest aids go to work faster and more efficiently, increasing leaf drop, reducing regrowth, and helping your cotton be ready when you are. Offering a 3-to-1 return on investment, you can't go wrong with NanoPro. Learn more or find your nearest dealer by calling Tracy Carrillo at 575-639-5110 or visit aquayield.com.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Now, as a result of exports being up, income was also up. And we saw commodity prices and income at levels we hadn't seen for quite some time. But here's what you all know, which is that income doesn't necessarily always go up in every part of the country. We know that many parts of our country were impacted and affected by horrific storms and drought and wildfires.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack in Atlanta before the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention.
That's why it was important for the administration to work with Congress in getting the WIP Plus program passed and implemented with an additional $10 billion. Now, we know that there is a need for those resources, and we're working now at USDA to simplify the process for application. We think there are opportunities to utilize existing data, whether it's from crop insurance or whether it's from our livestock indemnity programs and forage programs. We know who has suffered and who has incurred losses. So we're looking for a simplified way to get resources out under that WIP Plus program, and we can anticipate and expect those proceeds to get out hopefully in the first quarter of 2022. Now, this is on top of the nearly $13 billion that's already been announced in terms of pandemic assistance, and we have a number of other programs that we'll be announcing in 2022 as part of our pandemic assistance efforts and our Build Back effort.
Vilsack also talks about a new partnership opportunity.
Today I'm excited about a new partnership that we're announcing with Farmers for Soil Health. It's an opportunity for us to use our collective resources, our innovative solutions, and USDA resources to expand significantly the opportunity for cover crops. Working with the United Soybean Board, the National Corn Growers Association, the National Pork Board, the National Association of Conservation Districts, the Soil Health Institute, and the Sustainability Consortium, we're announcing a goal of doubling the number of cover crop acres to 30 million acres by 2030. And we're excited about the opportunity to use conservation assistance and help to do so. We're announcing today in 11 states roughly $38 million to begin that process of expanding incentives and encouraging additional cover crop activity. We're also looking for the opportunity, what we started in 2021, which was an innovative conservation incentive initiative that was focused on water quality and soil health. We started in a few states, and we're announcing today that we're going to make those opportunities available nationwide. So more resources forthcoming to Farm Bureau members in the area of conservation. We're excited about that opportunity.
But a recurring theme is rural broadband and the digital divide.
We finally got the job done, and part of that is to provide more additional resources for the expansion of broadband, meaningful broadband, the ability for broadband to actually have the upload and download speeds that will equip you as producers and your members as producers the opportunity to fully utilize precision agriculture. We announced recently a $1.5 billion set of awards that are forthcoming. We've already had 105 awards in 37 states, but we're going to continue to do more in that space. The infrastructure bill, the Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act, provides an additional $2 billion for USDA. So over the course of 2022, you're going to see additional announcements concerning the availability of those resources to significantly improve broadband access. Now, that goes along with the other $63 billion that's provided to other departments of government to expand access to broadband, much of which will occur in rural and remote areas. So excited about the opportunity to get that technology in the hands of producers.
It's Agriculture Today.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new cropping season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit Equinom.com.
Envision yourself on the front porch enjoying a cold glass of iced tea as the sun fades over the horizon. We can help you realize that dream with a home loan from Capital Farm Credit. Not only do we finance land and livestock, we also offer loans to purchase, refinance, and build homes. Even if you want to buy that second home for a tranquil escape, we offer competitive rates and terms. Let us finance your dreams. CapitalFarmCredit.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The definition of waters in the United States is critically important to agriculture. As you all know, farming and ranching is a very resource-intensive activity.
Travis Cushman is Senior Counsel for Public Policy, American Farm Bureau Federation.
Everything involving in farming and ranching is very water-dependent, and as a result, farms and ranches often exist in areas that get wet quite a bit, or alternatively, can have good access to water for irrigation. As a result, many features on land occasionally do get wet when it rains. All water runs downhill. Now, this matters because when you regulate low spots on land as jurisdictional waters, any activity you do that pushes dirt or perhaps applying a product on the ground can be subject to regulation. For example, plowing, planting, fence building, these kinds of activities can incur civil or criminal liability if you don't have a permit. The Clean Water Act also incurs liability even if you don't know what you did was wrong. So that means that a knowledge of what you're doing wrong is not always a defense to the law.
When it comes to waters of the U.S., that's a mess.
The Clean Water Act prohibits a discharge of a pollutant into a navigable water. What is a navigable water? Congress defined it as a water of the United States. What does that mean? Congress, as you all may know, does not always do an excellent job of defining things. And this has resulted in 40 years of litigation trying to figure out what the heck does navigable water mean.
He provided attendees at the recent American Farm Bureau Federation annual convention some real life examples.
The picture of the ship in it is what you think of as a usual navigable water. You have a ship moving and interstate commerce. You also have tributaries that lead into that waterway. Where things get a little bit more contentious is when you start talking about intermittent and perennial waters, and in particular, ephemeral features, which again are these features that generally only get wet in response to rainfall. And that's, again, where much of this fight lies, is what is an ephemeral feature and if that is jurisdictional or not. Another key part of this fight is prior converted cropland. And that is land that is no longer wet because it's been drained of its water features in order to allow it to be able to be farmed well.
And over time, the rules have changed.
So as a quick background, the past few years, this issue has gotten very heated, especially in 2015, when the Obama administration released a new rule which categorically swept in all ephemeral features. AFBF joined forces with several other industry groups and sued to try to stop the rule. We were successful in blocking the rule in 27 and a half states. This led in 2019 under the Trump administration to issue a new rule, which we were a very big part of advocating for, to repeal that 2015 rule. In 2020, we had what we thought was a very good rule, the Navigable Waters United States rule, which categorically excluded ephemeral features and had a good definition of prior converted cropland, which we thought did a good job of protecting farmland. And that leads us into a new set of litigation, which resulted in about 15 cases. Of those 15 cases, AFBF was involved with about 7 of them. We had good results in all the cases we were involved with. Unfortunately, there were 2 other cases we were not in. And those cases did result in some bad decisions, which did strike the Navajo Waters Protection Rule.
It's Agriculture Today.
How did all that FiberMax cotton grow so strong? Well, it's been a season sleeping on a bed of rocks, breathing dust and sucking wind. It hung out in blistering heat while fighting off posses of vicious pests and diseases. Yes, sir. That bounty of cotton grew so strong by being just as tough as you are. FiberMax Cotton from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cottonseed from AmeriCotton. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cottonseed.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Fertilizer is a major cost for corn producers, with nitrogen accounting for more than 50% of these costs.
Chris Edgington is an Iowa farmer and president of the National Corn Growers Association on pending tariffs on nitrogen fertilizer imports.
These costs have already skyrocketed over the last year. The study notes that the price of one type of nitrogen fertilizer, called anhydrous ammonia, increased by $688 per ton, or $86,000 for a 1,000-acre corn farmer, from the end of 2020 through the end of October 2021. The U.S. International Trade Commission is considering tariffs on nitrogen fertilizer from Trinidad and Tobago and Russia. This will create even greater scarcity in the market, causing fertilizer prices to rise even more. We call on CF Industries to rescind its petition.
T. Vaughn is a producer from the Texas Panhandle and explains how farming practices have evolved.
When my ancestors landed in Rhode Island in 1640, it was a very common practice in agriculture to clear the land and plant crops continuously till the soil became depleted. And then the process was to clear another plot of land and start the whole deal all over again, start the process over. It was one reason why people started moving west, the westward migration across the United States, in order to get fresh, new land for farming purposes. In that time, without farming, modern farming knowledge, it was the only alternative. But today, that is not environmentally possible, nor is it desirable. Using existing crop land to produce more is how we must feed the world. We do not need to cut down more forest or farm environmentally sensitive land. But to grow high-yielding crops requires having affordable fertilizers to provide the nutrients plants need. And this study is showing that we're not adding more crop land.
Said no doubt about it, increasing costs are hitting producers' bottom line.
On my farm, to grow my 2020 corn crop, I spent a total of $120.79 per acre on my total fertility needs. Nitrogen fertilizers were $89.13 per acre of that total cost. In 2021, we began to see fertilizer prices begin a steep climb. Even with early purchases on my farm of cheaper product, my cost to grow an acre of corn jumped to $142.43 per acre for all fertilizers, with nitrogen fertilizer increasing to $110.17 per acre. I've already applied a good deal of my fertilizer for the 2022 crop. And based on what I've already spent, if prices remain at current levels as I purchase the rest of my needs this spring during planting season and this summer, it will cost me $291.94 to provide fertilizer for an acre of corn. Nitrogen fertilizer will make up $235.76 per acre of that overall fertility cost. That is a huge 264% increase in the cost of nitrogen in just over 2 years' time. It is a 241% increase in my total fertilizer bill over the same time period.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ring in the new year with savings at South Plains Implement. Looking for a new ride? Get great deals and financing options across a wide selection of John Deere lawn equipment during the Winter Green Sales event. Have time to tackle repairs on harvest equipment? In-stock peanut and cotton harvest equipment parts 15% off. Ready to plow into planting season? South Plains Implement offering 15% off complete sets of tillage parts. Some restrictions apply. Offers end January 31st at South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
This is Agriculture Today.
It takes a while to gather global trade numbers, so we only have complete numbers for the first 11 months of calendar year 2021. And according to USDA economist Bart Kenner,
agricultural exports through November of 2021 were $160.6 billion, a 20% increase from 2020.
Kenner says for the first 11 months of last year, wheat exports were running 16% ahead of the same time frame in 2020. And even more impressive,
exports of corn were $17.4 billion, up 110%. Soybean exports were $23.1 billion, up 11%.
But cotton sales were down about 4%. Nonetheless, a record pace for total U.S. exports at over $160.5 billion. Our ag imports also running at a record level of just under $156 billion.
Leaving us with an agricultural trade balance of $4.7 billion.
A nice trade surplus for 2021. We ran a trade deficit during the same 11 months in 2020. Gary Crawford, Washington.